You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Cashman, joined by the freshly shaved Scott Merkin. Merk, that was so nice of you to shave for this podcast. You do know this is there's no hidden camera on you here, right?
Yeah, you know, after I shaved, I kind of realized that, but I just feel cleaner and ready to go for the podcast now that I did that.
You feel fresh and clean. You even feel like Thomas Harding.
No one can feel like Thomas Harding. He's unique to himself, but close.
Merk, you have something in common with White Sox. I mean, White Sox fans had to be watching the Royals go to the World Series last year and be like, man, why can't that be us? And you, of course, had to watch Ohio State win the national championship game on Monday night. And as a big Michigan fan, that had to burn you up a little bit as well, didn't it?
It wasn't why can't that be us. It was why can't we win seven games for Michigan, was it? But, hey, you know, I have made no bones as a Michigan graduate that I'm not a big Ohio State fan. But, man, you can't deny that's a coaching job for the ages by Urban Meyer. That was unbelievable to take a third-string quarterback, who actually was probably as good as most starters in the Big Ten, and, you know, pretty easily. I mean, they would have won that by, a massive amount if not for the four turnovers and the one long pass play. But, I mean, just really an impressive job by Urban Meyer. You can't argue facts, and that's the truth right there.
Well, Harbaugh will have his day in the sun with Michigan, I'm sure.
Get the Final Four.
You and Rick Hahn can celebrate together. But
I think both will be there next year. It might be Michigan, Ohio State for the championship next year.
There you go. Not hold my breath on that one, Mark. But Rick Hahn, of course, Michigan grad as well, and he's had quite an active winter. I'm sure Jose Abreu has been very pleased to see that. You talked with Abreu last week, and I remember talking with Abreu at the end of last season, just saying as great as his season was and how happy he was with the transition to the big leagues, he was, you know, disappointed in the team performance, and he didn't feel his individual status meant much given where the team was at. And so, of course, now the White Sox have significantly beefed up around Abreu and the others. What was his take on things when you talked to him last week?
Well, I think one of the most impressive things about Jose right from the start was that he just got it. You know, he just understood Major League Baseball. And while he was tearing it up individually, you know, he was proud of what he did, obviously. He won, I think, four different Rookie of the Year awards last year, including our own Gibbies. But, you know, he's all about the team success. And it's not just a platitude. He really is about the team success. So he's very excited. He's very excited to have, you know, Adam LaRoche on board and how that's – he didn't look at it just how it's going to help him and LaRoche in terms of, you know, reducing their wear and tear, but he looked at it as how it's going to help the team overall. And he had a great line, and I can't think of the exact quote now, but it was something about that, you know, he's not working right now for 162-game season. He wants the playoffs for the White Sox, and that really seemed to resonate with White Sox fans. And I think, you know, not just that he gets it to the team first, but all his work – and the very set pattern, the very, you know, fastidious workout program that he has every day is geared toward making the team better, not towards him getting 50 home runs. If he hits 20 home runs next year and they win 96 games and make the playoffs, I'm sure he'll be a happy individual.
Does Abreu or anybody, for that matter, have a clear grasp on expectation, number of games played at first base versus DH? I mean, I know he's a selfless player, but I'm sure he wants to feel more involved at first base than to be relegated to much DH time at this point in his career.
You know, Rick mentioned this at one of the seven conference calls or either at the winter meetings that he's been on this offseason. He kind of envisioned, at least right now, that Abreu would play around the 109-game mark that he played last year. Now, granted, some of it was injury, some of it was just kind of reduced, you know, soreness by the end of the year. So I would think something like that, you know, LaRoche getting – probably, you know, 55 to 65 games at first base. And it'll be a challenge for him, too. I think he has six or seven games started as a designated hitter, so it's going to be interesting to see how he handles his first
run
as a hitter. But I would think it'll be something, some sort of split along those lines.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, when Adam Dunn came to the White Sox, that was part of his transition, was transitioning to the full-time DH. And some guys really struggle with that. It's such a different mindset, you know, when you're thinking about every at-bat, between at-bats, and that's your only way to contribute to the club. It can eat at some guys' consciousness a little bit during the game. So certainly that'll be something to monitor with Abreu moving forward. You know
it's interesting. I talked to Dunn even last year, and this is his fourth year doing it. And even last year, you know, in May or June, he said he was still kind of tinkering and figuring out the routine. So, yeah, it's going to be
it's going to be a challenge for both guys to get, you know, to kind of get in that set pattern and roll with it.
They signed the other LaRoche, Andy LaRoche. Is this like a package deal? You sign one, you have to sign the other at this point, or what's that all about?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think he's all part of the non-roster invite. It'll be interesting because the Sox, still as many moves as they've had, and they've seemed to really kind of fill every single spot they needed, and then some, which is another point that Abreu mentioned about how Rickon really just kind of went down the line and knocked everything out. You know, it'll be interesting to see how some of the non-roster invites, someone like a Tony Campana in the outfield. The Sox haven't officially announced these as of yet, but, you know, guys that have kind of filtered out there, how they fit in. They're still, you know, maybe a bullpen spot or the 25th or 24th guy, you know, coming off the last guy on the bench type of thing. Oh, but it could be a valuable spot for the Sox. So, yeah, it looks like Andy LaRoche is in that non-roster invite mix, and we'll see how, you know, guy who's a good utility player and has even played a little outfield in his career figures into the mix.
I think they just want to help you out, Mark. They wanted that second or third week of spring training when there's, you know, you're kind of out of story ideas already, and you know, you need something easy. You got the LaRoche brothers feature. That's always a good one, right?
Yeah, God bless the Dank brothers. They went through that for, you know, three or four years to the point where it was kind of a joke, you know, where you'd walk in and someone would say, Mark, do you know that John Jordan or brothers, you want to do something on them? And which is funny because they ended up started talking about their sister, Emily, who played volleyball at Ohio State and said might have been the best athlete of the whole family. So you do glean a little bit of information. But yeah, this year it could be the LaRoches. And remember, Dave, their dad, worked as a coach for the White Sox for 2 years, which is where Adam kind of got his indoctrination into the White Sox and originally met Robin Ventura as a kid running around the clubhouse.
Yeah. Wow. See, a lot of ties there. All right, so a lot of interest in the Sox. Sox Fest sold out January 23rd to 25th. That's a pretty strong indication of the fan base being supportive of this club. We'll see you know, how that translates in the regular season. But yeah, have you ever seen interest this? I guess coming off the World Series year, was that the last time you saw interest quite this high?
Yeah, coming out of the World Series, obviously it was packed, and that was kind of almost like a celebration session. People, you know, they have I'm sure a lot of these fan fests have these, but they have kind of a town hall meeting with you know, Ken Williams is the GM then, and he'd sit and answer questions. And there weren't really many questions. It was more just one by one fans coming up saying, you know, here's where I was when, you know, Palmeiro grounded out for the final out, and, you know, my dad told me this story about it and that kind of thing. And there have been some acrimonious ones. I remember coming off 03 going into 04 when the Sox lost a bunch of free agents and the Cubs had come so close to the World Series. It was pretty heated with some of the fans and Ken Williams, and Ken's not one to back down. He's going to voice his opinion. But I think this year is going to be a lot of is it too late for Rickon to get in the mayoral race for Chicago? He's that popular right now. A lot of buzz in Chicago overall for baseball because the Cubs had a good offseason too, but huge amount of buzz on the south side. I mean, and they're moving to a new location, the Chicago Hilton Tower. So should be a very interesting weekend. And don't forget that it's also, you know, I think about 9 or 10 guys back in the 10-year anniversary of the 2005 World Series. So the fans are very excited about this nice little winter breakup next weekend in Chicago.
And Rick Hahn's victory lap. And we know how short-lived the dubious title of team that wins the winter can be. But but this team looks solid. It looks very solid. And then we'll see if there are any other moves to be made. Diane Vicieto stands out as a potential trade candidate. They just avoided arbitration with him. But coming off a 21 home run year, which has value in today's marketplace, he could have value to the White Sox as a bench bat against lefties. There's still some uncertainty with Avisiel Garcia on an everyday basis. We have to see, you know, what he can contribute a little bit down the stretch. 7 home runs and 190 plate appearances after coming back quicker than expected from the shoulder situation last year. So if they do go into Camp Merck with both of those guys, how do you see this shaking out for Vicieto? What will his role be here?
Well, I think Vicieto, as you said, he reminded me a little bit of kind of a lower example of Alexi Ramirez. We've talked on the podcast before about Alexi having value to the Sox as a starting shortstop and having value as a guy on the market, too. I don't think Vicieto has, clearly, because I think he would have been moved already, doesn't have quite the trade value that Alexi has. But, you know, he's a guy who can come off the bench and pinch hit. He's a guy who could spell some lefties against, you know, left-handed hitters against some tougher lefties as a right-handed hitter. Like you said, you could give Garcia a break every now and then. But the thing is with Diane, you know, great kid. He's worked really hard to try and get himself consistent, just hasn't clicked in there. I don't know if just the power factor is going to be enough to keep him on the bench, although you do have a guy like Bonifacio, who, assuming he is a utility guy, who can play all over for you, and that kind of maybe even takes another spot off the bench because you don't need it with Bonifacio there. But, you know, a lot of times you like that reserve guy to be able to hit but also be able to play a little defense or run a little bit. And so it'll be interesting to see how this year fits. I really think, honestly, they still will explore trades for him. One, because of the fit, and two, because they're not a team that kind of holds a guy back, and if they feel like there's a better opportunity for him elsewhere, they'll look at that too. But, yeah, I mean, right now I think pretty much any option could be plausible for Vizcaíno. I would still guess that he gets moved before the start of the season, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, better to go into camp with that being one of your big questions than to be looking for a cleanup hitter or, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, if
third starter,
if figuring out Vizcaíno is the biggest question they have, then they've had a pretty good offseason,
yeah,
which they have, hands down.
And you see that with the Sox Fest build-up, and everybody's excited to attend that, and hopefully to run into Scott Merkin, who maybe – are you going to shave for Sox Fest, too, or do you only shave for
Friday? I will, at least that Friday, at least before the first day, I will that Friday.
Okay.
May let it go the next 2 days, but I think, you know, I'll put on a good appearance that first day for sure.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's a promise. You will see Scott Merkin at his absolute best. I want to thank Merk for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.